morning. Well, we are so delighted to have you today. I want to welcome all of you to Cross City Christian Church and hope you're enjoying this beautiful autumn weather we've been having. We're in a series called Uncommon Sense, and we're enjoying it, and we're looking not for perfection, but we're looking for wisdom. And no one's perfect, and we all make mistakes, and churches aren't perfect because churches are filled with people like you and me. So we can't be perfect, but we want to strive to always do better, and we want to be more like Him. We want to have more wisdom. I recently read some of these bloopers I actually had on file. I've used these before, but I enjoy these, and it just shows you how flawed we really are. But you know, we used to have newsletters we'd send out every week. Now we just, everything's online. We do have a bulletin, but these newsletters, you just time to time make mistakes. These are actual bloopers that we found in church newsletters here, and I put them up here so you could read along, because usually it's funnier to read than for me to say. The eighth graders will be presenting Shakespeare's Hamlet on Friday at 7 p.m. The congregation is invited to attend this tragedy. Weight Watchers will meet at 7 p.m. Please use the double large doors at the side entrance. Low Self-Esteem Support Group will meet on Thursday from 7 to 8:30. Please use the back door. Pastor would appreciate it if the ladies of the congregation would lend him their electric girdles for the pancake breakfast next Saturday morning. I had to think about that one. Anyway, the outreach committee has enlisted 25 volunteers to make calls on people who are not afflicted with any church. Keyword is afflicted. Men's lunch, and you'll hear an excellent speaker and heave a healthy lunch. Hot dog supper tonight after church. Please bring your own hot dogs and guns. I think that's from Texas. I don't think that's a typo. My favorite, Miss Bertha Belch, missionary from Africa, will be speaking at Calvary Memorial Church in Racine. Come tonight and hear Bertha Belch all the way from Africa. That's a big belch. Thank you, Bertha. We serve a perfect Savior, but our churches are made up of imperfect people. And together, though, you know, we can be what God wants us to be. We can be filled with the things that He wants to be filled with. And we want to be filled with chokmah. We looked at this Hebrew word. It's a word for wisdom. And we looked last week, there are different layers of wisdom. If you just a little review, that we have this pragmatic layer that basically is common sense. Either you have it or you don't. Some people, you know, just have it. They just have this common sense, and other people don't have that kind of wisdom. There's another layer. It's experiential layer, which is something that you learn through the course of your life. Course of just, we say sometimes, learning the hard way. And you grow that way. The ability to figure things out by, you know, you just learn through living. There's no other way around it. There's the moral level, the ability to discern what is right and what is wrong. Some people know how to do that. Some people kind of, I don't know if they were born with that, but some people just at a very early age, they have that ability. Some do not. There's a philosophical level or layer, which means that no matter what happens and what difficulty they're going through, and Scott mentioned a kid a few weeks ago that was going through an unbelievable thing as a high school student, but he had such a peace about him, and he knew that God's in control. And people that have that, that's a level of wisdom some people just do not have. God's going to work it out. God's working things out for the good. I'm just going to sit back and let Him run the show, call the shots, because I know however I come out on the other side, I'm going to be better and wiser for it, and He's going to get the honor for it. Some people don't have that. Spiritual level, the spiritual wisdom is letting God teach you. Some people think, you know, I've been around a long time. I've been studying this book. I've got two things memorized. I've done this, 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 and I've even taught a few things. There's nothing more that God can teach me and instill in me. But a spiritual wisdom means no matter where you are, no matter what you've achieved, how many times you've read it, you still know deep down that there's something in there for you, and you allow God to teach you. That's called spiritual wisdom. You haven't already arrived. You didn't write the book. Okay? He did, and you're in a teachable mode. That is spiritual wisdom. Now, with all this knowledge that we've been talking about, all these different things, all these different levels, the important thing is that you apply the knowledge. It's not enough to read it. It's not even enough to know it. But you've got to apply the knowledge. And when you apply the knowledge, that's when you will be what I call experiencing successful living. You say, well, preacher, what does successful living mean? Well, successful living, you're not going to like it, but my definition of successful living is living well. Thank you. You're very welcome. Write that down. Tell your friends about that one. Well, what is living well? Well, living well is different for all of us. Living well might, you know, for some, having a vacation home. Living well for others might just having enough money to get a Starbucks every morning. Living well is different for each person. But I think the biblical definition is when you experience God's best for your life in nearly every area of your life. That is living well. We talked about the two barrels last week, and I'm not going to go through all these again, but we said if I offered you two barrels, which one would you choose? You'd probably want to know what's in the barrels. Barrel number one is wisdom. Barrel number two is rejection of wisdom. In barrel number one, we found that there is life and there is a blessing and there is favor. There is healing and there is victory in barrel number one. There is long life. We read these right out of Proverbs last week. There's long life. There's prosperity. I'm not a health and wealth guy, but God does want to bless you. God does want you to be the best at whatever it is you choose to do. God wants you to be your best version of you. There's no doubt about that. God does want to bring favor into your life. God doesn't want you to have bad health. God wants you to have good health and love and all of this other stuff and protection. In barrel number two, again, barrel number one is wisdom applied. Not just you read about it, not just that you claimed it, but that you applied it to your life. You said, I'm going to do these things. I'm going to be this way. I want God to live in my life, and I want to do all these things that this is telling me. This is wisdom rejected, and we found that in wisdom rejected, there's all kinds of problems. There were disasters, and we'd go running to God. It said in there, and what would God do? Well, we didn't like the answer. It said that God would mock you. God's going to laugh. And a lot of people don't even think that's in the Bible. That can't be God. That's not the Bible my parents told me about. Yeah, and this rejected wisdom barrel, there's distress, there is trouble, there's all kinds of, where is he? Does he not hear me? Did he close his eyes? Did he shut his ears? I don't understand. What kind of God is this? And that's why a lot of people, you know, they use that as an excuse. There's all kinds of destruction in this barrel. And so the choice is yours. You get to, again, barrel number one, wisdom is wisdom applied, not just wisdom. Barrel number two is wisdom rejected. And I don't know about you, but I want all those things in barrel number one. And that's why we read in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, the first three words say, wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. I love it. I mean, I love that. Wisdom is the number one thing. And I wish we believed that today. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get smart. Go get it. Thought number one in your notes. Living well in this life is the focus of Proverbs. Thought number one. Living well in this life is the focus of Proverbs. I want you to try to understand that, and I did mention this last week, I think in this service. I finished this sermon last week at three different places, and so I'm just trying to finish it. Hope you don't mind. But thought number one is this book is not for the next life, it's for this life. There's nothing in the book of Proverbs, talking about Proverbs, not the Bible, but the book of Proverbs about really the next life. It's not, there's no instructions in here on how to get to heaven. Not about the rapture, not about Jesus returning, it's about the here and now. Proverbs, I'm going to show you a few examples. Verse 27. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it. It is your power to act. Do not say to your neighbor, come back later, I'll give it tomorrow, when you now have it with you. Verse 20, there's a lot of noise going on, guys. I need whatever the chains or the noise or the bells or the whistles and the clicks. If you can possibly just keep that to a minimum, it would be awesome. I feel like I'm at a game or something. So I appreciate that. Verse 29, do not plot harm against your neighbor who lives trustfully near you. Do not accuse a man for no reason when he's done no harm to you. Do not envy a violent man or choose any of his ways. In other words, this book is not about tomorrow. It's about the here and now. It's about how to get along. It's about, there's a lot in here about neighbors. I saw this week a lot of great pictures from the tragedy in Houston. And the pictures just kind of warmed my heart. Here's one here. My mother mentioned to me about all the animals getting rescued and how much that touched her heart over the last few days. And I will say the tragedy's awful. I'm not trying to make light of it, but it was sure nice to get a little bit away from politics just for a few days in the news. And some of these pictures were just unbelievable. And I noticed that nobody really cared what other people looked like or where they were from, at least in the videos and pictures that I saw. Amazing. Isn't that something? Next picture. Here are two people right here who obviously have different color of jackets. Here's that yellow one, and then there's that orange one. Just seems to get along fine. Here's more people getting along, rescuing. Next picture. This is a SWAT team member rescuing a young mom with a newborn baby. And they carry her to safety. Love it, love it, love it. Next picture. This is my favorite picture. I've read the backstory on this. It's this tremendous gentleman, and some of the stuff he had to say was amazing. But, you know, I don't think anybody, I can't imagine, you're on a roof and rain's coming down and the water's rising, and somebody comes up in a little, you know, a little motorboat, and they say, hey, come on, let's go. And you look out and go, nope. Nope, I'm staying right here. Why? What's wrong? Well, your skin is not the same color as mine. You don't look like me. We're from different places. Our cultures are a little different. I'm not getting in. Does that make any sense? You think that happened? I don't. Neighbors, just trying to get along. Trying to help one another and love one another. By the way, I think most of the country is like that. Amen. I think the media loves to try to get you to think that on every street there is this tension and division. And, you know, you just watch it and watch it. And sure enough, you go to work the next day and you feel it. You feel it. And I don't think we've had reporting in decades. We've had shaping and modeling and coercion and everything else, but a very, very little just actual reporting. And even the headlines that I read this week about all of this was all slanted, and they tried to make political stuff out of stuff that was just not political. That's just my opinion. Do not harm your neighbor. What am I saying? Proverbs isn't about the next life, it's about this life. Chapter 5, verse 3, the lips of an adulteress drip honey and her speech is smoother than oil. Let me tell you can read through all the rest of that. It ain't nothing about the next life. It's about this life. Proverbs 10, verse 1, a wise son brings joy to his father. Boy, I can just vouch for that right now. A couple weeks ago, I in Southern California preaching, and I preached on a Saturday night, and my son drove all the way across Los Angeles, all the way from Fullerton up to Granada Hills, Porter Ranch area, and man, that's a long journey, and Saturday late afternoon, early evening, and brought his girlfriend with him, sat through my boring sermon, met with me afterwards, and we went to dinner, and man, it was awesome. I just had the best time. I mean, better than being down there and better than preaching and everything else, just being with him. He put his arms around me and told me how much he loved me and told me what a great preacher I was. And I mean, man, when he left, he brought great joy to me. I loved it. I mean, I couldn't have, it was the best evening I can remember. Not the sermon part, not the preaching part, not all the hand clap, just being with him, because he's a good kid. And it just, a wise son brings joy to his father. Say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the book of Proverbs, not about how to get to heaven and the rapture and all that stuff. It's about the here and now. Look at verse 4, chapter 10. Lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth. That's about today, not about eternity. Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness exalts a nation. Think about that for a second. Think about everything going on today in our world. Righteousness exalts a nation. I look at our nation, and I put on my thinking cap, and I think if righteousness exalts a nation, which means lifts up, what do you think's going on with our nation? You watch the news. If righteousness exalts a nation, what do you think would bring a nation down? What do you think would destroy a nation? What do you think would bury a nation? Well, unrighteousness, sin. And I look at all of the, and there's a lot of crud going on. I'm not saying there's no crud. I'm not saying there's no hate. I'm not saying there's no any of that other stuff. But I just don't believe that that's really what it's really about. I think those things are a byproduct of what this is talking about. And basically, those are a byproduct of there not being enough people in our nation that just love Jesus. Not enough people in our nation that just love one another. There's too much sin. If righteousness exalts a nation, then unrighteousness will bring a nation to its knees, not for prayer. Sin is a disgrace to any people. Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. 27, verse 15, a quarrelsome wife is like a constant dripping on a rainy day. Drip, 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 drip. I don't know how that got in there. I just read that. Verse 17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Is that about the next life? That's about this life. 29:15, a rod of correction imparts wisdom, but a child left to himself disgraces his mom. Verse 17, discipline your son, and he will give you peace and bring delight to your soul. Last time I'm going to say it. I've been saying it all weekend. This isn't about the other side of the grave. This book is about this side of the grave. This book is about how to get along. I think if we ever was a time that we needed this book, it's right now. We need it. Number two, discovering how to live well will take effort on your behalf. It's not going to be easy. You want to be accountable. You want to really get in there and apply these things to your life. You want to really acquire true wisdom, wisdom from above. Not going to happen naturally. You're going to have to work at it. You're going to have to want it. You're going to have to go through some steps. You're going to have to dig deep. There was a museum that had a Bible in it. And that Bible was supposedly given to Albert Einstein. And on the fly leaf of that Bible, whoever gave it to him wrote these words: errors like straws on the surface flows, but he who searches for pearls must dive below. That's an old person that gave it didn't write it. That's an old famous poem, line from a poem. What they were saying, though, to Albert was, yeah, you might be a smart, intelligent young man, but even you, Albert, If you want to really discover God's wisdom, you're going to have to dig deep. You're going to have to dig deep if you really want God's wisdom. It requires effort. Number three, living well is much more than, well, about the thing we all think it's about, money. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom. I'm telling you, if you'd be around, you'll stick around the next 8-9 weeks. I believe you're going to leave here more like God. You're going to leave here having learned more about him. You're going to be a man full of wisdom, a woman full of wisdom. I think it's going to be awesome. Blessed is the man, the woman, the person, young boy, young girl, who finds wisdom, who gains understanding. For she, and this refers to, of course, wisdom. Wisdom is more profitable. Here's what some of you just do not believe. Wisdom is more profitable than silver, yields better returns than gold. She's more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. I listen to every time talk radio goes to commercial, there's some host telling you to buy gold. Does that even make sense to me? I mean, I understand being ready and planned and prepared and ready for the future. Listen, when the world coming to an end, the closet full of gold ain't going to help you. I just don't know how to tell you that. It's just not going to help you. If you got any gold you want to get rid of, fine, let me know. I'll help you clear your closet if that's what you need. But I just don't think that's the answer. Nothing you desire can compare with wisdom. Imagine on a Saturday morning you're cleaning out your closet and you find an unopened, unmarked envelope stuck behind some crevice in the closet or something back in there and left from the previous owner. What is this? And you pull it out and you read the note, and the note says something like, because of my concern that some of my greedy, ungrateful children would squander my money once I'm gone, I've decided to bury $500,000 in the backyard near that giant oak tree. And the money is located in a metal box. It's about 3 feet left of the tree, 24 inches beneath the surface of the ground. If you find it, it's yours. How many of you would think you might respond to that note? Be a little curious? Think you'd go look at the other closets? See if there are any other notes? You just go on with your daily routine? Would you just finish the closet and act like you didn't matter anything to you and throw it away? Would you say, hey, one of these days I'm going to get in there and check that out? Would you just take the note and throw it away and say, I don't think that's a trustworthy document, and I waste my time? Yeah, I think most of you would have a shovel in your hands before lunch. And I just want you to know that as useful as $500,000 would be, I know it would be, there's something that is much more valuable than that money, than that gold, than that silver. Bible promises that God offers you something that is far more valuable. You say, what in the world is it? It's called wisdom. It's called Chokmah. You say, why is that more valuable than financial wealth? Because it covers every area of your life. Not just the financial, not just the relational, not just the vocational, not just the spiritual, but every part of your life. And I just, you know, I wish you believed that. I can't make you believe that. And a lot of you do believe that. But a lot of you don't believe that. And you might acknowledge it, but you haven't applied it, so you don't really believe it. If you really believed it, I could have a long list of things after that sentence. But if you really believed it, you'd be in a life group. Let's just start there. Why would I do that? Because you'd get wisdom in a life group. Well, I got to put up with those people every night of the week. Yeah, I get that. But by doing that, you do know deep down that you would probably leave 6-10 weeks later with a greater understanding of what the Word of God says, plus some friendships, plus some accountability, and you'd be wiser, and that would be valuable to you. But if you don't believe that, that has no value, so it's not worth it. That's just, you see that as a cost. That's a night a week. I could be watching football. You know, I get it. I get all of that. But if you believed that, then you'd get in a life group. You understand that life is better together. And I could go on, and we're going to go on. In our series, we're going to talk about some of these things. If we really believe that wisdom applied is more valuable than money, or gold, or silver, or rubies, we're gonna talk about what some of that might mean in a practical way in our life. The last point in your outline is the purpose of living well, acquiring and practicing wisdom, is to glorify God. There's a passage in Deuteronomy that talks about, I'll just read part of it to you. I've taught you decrees and laws that the Lord my God commanded me, so that why? Why would God tell Moses and Moses tell these people of Israel to do this? Here's why. So that you may follow them in the land you are entering and take possession of it. Observe them. Observe what? What God says. And for our application today, we'd say Proverbs. Observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations who will hear about these decrees and say, surely this great nation is wise and understanding people. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to Him? You see, the purpose of living well and getting smart is to glorify God. God loved the Israelites. Those were His people. He wanted to bless them. And I'll tell you today, God loves you and He wants to bless you. And Israel wasn't the biggest or the baddest nation by any shot, by any long shot. I mean, it was just not. It was not that big and not that powerful and not anything. But it was different. It was unique. One, it had laws. Not many nations had laws back then. But not only that, some nations had laws, but what made this different was that Israel's laws, supposedly, if you believe this book, Israel's laws came from God. And the deal was, Israel, if you would follow these laws and decrees, you will be blessed and you will be considered righteous. If you follow these, there was no other nation that had that kind of setup. And you say, well, why did that happen? So that Israel could be right and Israel could be just blessed by God? I mean, was that what God wanted to do? No. That was just step one. What God really wanted to do, listen carefully, was He wanted them to get these laws, follow these laws, and yes, be blessed. But as a result of all of that, other nations would look at Israel and say, what's going on? What's different with you? What do you have that we don't? And then Israel could say, well, we have a code. We have a standard. Well, where did you get it? It came from God. Well, can we take a look at it? Yeah, you can take a look at it. You can try to live by it like us if you want to. And in that process, who ends up getting the glory and the honor and the praise is God. And that's what God wants out of your life. You say, I thought God wanted me to have all this chokmah. Well, yeah, He does. I thought God wanted me to have all those things in barrel number one. Absolutely. He does. I thought if I applied this wisdom that this was going to happen, and that was the purpose. Kind of. The purpose of applied wisdom is not just for you to have good stuff happening to you. The purpose of applied wisdom is so that, yes, you can be blessed, but the real reason for the blessing is so that somebody that knows you, somebody down the street, somebody at work, somebody at school, somebody passing by might say, hey, this person here, They're living in a different stratosphere than I am. I am so interested in what's going on. How come everything's different with you than me? And then you have the opportunity to take the light and to shine it on Jesus Christ, and he gets the glory. And if you read the New Testament, I'm telling you, that's the end game. He wants the glory. He deserves the glory. And the reason for his wanting you to have wisdom is, yes, so that you could be blessed. Yes, so that he could fill your life up with stuff that you need in this life, but also so that others would see what's going on and that the light would be shined on to him. We're going to stand. We're going to sing. We're going to offer an invitation. We do this every week. And if you're here today and you want the Lord Jesus in your life, we want you to take advantage of this moment. If you've not ever said yes to him, why wouldn't you do it right now? That'd be a wise decision. If you're here today and you want to start over, if you want somebody to pray with you, if you want somebody to encourage you. I had a woman last night, just needed some encouragement, family stuff, stuff with her child, lost a job, getting ready to make a move, broke, and some other real serious stuff. Just needed encouragement. We got some preachers up here and teachers up here and leaders up here. I'd love to pray with you. Had somebody step forward this morning. A man fighting back tears. Just said, this is what I'm going through. I don't know what to do next. I need direction. I don't know what it is, but I know a lot of you are going through it. I know a lot of you are questioning things. A lot of you are being challenged by this, what's going on in our world today and just in your own world. And as I say all the time, I don't have many of the answers, but I know the one who has every single answer. I know the one who has every word that you need, every ounce of encouragement and strength, blessing. He has them. He has them. Whatever your decision, just step down here to the front. We want to help you. Let's sing this chorus together.